Hello. Welcome to the extra credits of the 2024 Oscar nominations. I'm Trey.
And I'm Kelsey.
It's early in the AM here.
Yes.
Kelsey's sick still, unfortunately.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
Thank you for being here still after being so sick. This is our first Oscars episode of 2024 and our instant reaction to the nominations. It's still very early here. A lot of big wins today.
Yeah.
Some snubs.
A lot of surprises, yeah.
Yeah, surprises.
Some.
Yeah, some. If you're really plugged in, then maybe not many. But if you're not, then I'm assuming there are for you. And there maybe were even some movies you've never heard of, which is traditional of the Oscars, nominating films people have never seen. So the first thing I think that's obvious looking at these nominations is that the 2024 Oscars are going to be dominated by Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And Yorgos Lanthimos' Poor Things. Oppenheimer had 13 nominations. Poor Things had 10. And then closely behind them, we saw Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon with 10 nominations, and then Greta Gerwig's Barbie with 8 nominations. And while that isn't too surprising, and we'll get into the Barbie controversy because obviously we were hoping for a little bit more nominations there, I do think looking at these big four juggernaut movies, it locates something interesting about the film year of 2023, which maybe we can get into in the next few months before the Oscars in mid-March, which is that 2023 has two painful movies about American corruption and political unrest in Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon doing very well. And then also two feminist odysseys with singular production design and performances in Poor Things and Barbie. And I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. It was a great movie year.
Yeah. No, so. It definitely was. I think there are some obviously like more independent movies that I would have loved to see get love even for performances maybe. But yeah, I mean, it's has been a great year for movies.
Yeah, 1001 and Tiana Taylor comes to mind first, and we'll get into that. We also had some great firsts. This is the first year where three woman directors have Best Picture contenders. We have Barbie, and that's Greta Gerwig, obviously. Justine Triet's Anatomy of a Fall, let's go.
Yeah.
And then also Celine Song's Past Lives, which is wonderful. I was getting really worried about Celine Song's Oscar potential possibilities just because of what happened to Charlotte Wells last year with After Sun, which was pretty unfortunate. Only Paul Mescal getting the nomination there for the After Sun team. And then only one of those three woman filmmakers, Justine Triet, earned a Best Director nomination, which is really well-deserved, but there's already some backlash this morning of Greta not getting nominated, which we can get into today as well. Lily Gladstone also made history as the first Native American woman to be nominated for an Oscar for Best Actress. Also, staying with Killers of the Flower Moon, we had the oldest director nominee in Oscars history with Martin Scorsese at 81. 81 years old, still putting out great movies, grabbing his 11th Best Director nomination of his career. He's only one nomination behind the 40s, 50s filmmaker William Wyler for the most director nominations in the history of the Oscars.
Wow.
And his next film reportedly is going to be starring Leonardo DiCaprio, so I would assume he might get another one before his career is up.
Wow, Leo's going to do PTA and a Marty?
Probably.
Movie?
And maybe Tarantino too.
Wow.
It's a big next
Marty's
3 years.
Marty's only one for Departed.
Yeah, The Departed. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we'll be talking about very soon on Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also had some snubs and surprises. To name a few before we get deep into this, Greta Gerwig was shut out for directing Barbie. Margot Robbie was also snubbed. Leonardo DiCaprio was snubbed, missed out on his acting nomination. People are very angry about May-December. I think coming into the award season, a lot of May-December hive, let's call them, they were hoping for the trio of performances at the center of this Todd Haynes project, led by Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore and then Charles Melton to hopefully get some nominations. I know Melton had some Gotham Award love. I think he got some Golden Globe Spirit Critics' Choice nominations that followed after that. We're not a big award show, so we don't really keep up with all the smaller awards shows, but we are happy when people get those nominations or wins. Yeah, definitely not. We're not one of those shows. We do more deep dives on movies than we do award talk. We're not really an industry podcast. But regardless, I am happy to see that they've gotten some nominations throughout the award season, especially Charles Melton. But we'll talk more about him today, about not really getting praise for May-December, though the script did, and we can talk about the screenwriter. Another snub, a major snub, is Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon and screenwriter Eric Roth, who did not get a nomination for his screenplay. We'll talk a little bit about why that might be. We had Christopher Cote, who was a language consultant on the film, who talked about the controversy around that movie and why it was successful and also why there were some nuance that was left out from some of the characterization. And we can get into that a little bit today, too. And also, we've had multiple pods on that film. In terms of totals for the Oscars, going in order, Oppenheimer, 13 nominations, Poor Things, 11, Killers of the Flower Moon, 10, Barbie, 8, Maestro, 7 nominations.
Wow.
Wild.
Do you think Bradley's happy?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't think Hollywood or the Academy voters are plugged into film Twitter like we are. And I don't think they know the average person isn't in love with Maestro, even though it's got its supporters, which I understand. And Bradley Cooper obviously is one of the best actors working. That film just has problems. We already did an episode on it, but we'll talk a little bit about it today. The Holdovers is next at 5 nominations, then tied with American Fiction for 5, Zone of Interest for 5, and then Anatomy of a Fall for 5. I was hoping for Anatomy of a Fall to be closer to that Maestro spot at 7, right. But it is what it is. It still did very well. Napoleon, 3 nominations. Very surprised about that.
Go Ridley.
Past Lives 2, and then The Creator 2, which I think that's a catastrophe. I watched that film. Kelsey, I don't think you have yet.
No, I haven't.
It's a very important movie when it comes to what you can do with your funding for, let's call it, mid to large tier sci-fi blockbuster. It looks like a really good movie, but that screenplay is so tough. I mean, it only got nominations for technical things, which I understand, I guess, but there are so many other movies that only had one nomination today or none that we can get into that should have gotten more recognition over The Creator. Okay, so let's go through these categories one by one. Should we start with Best Picture?
Yeah. Do you want to read them out?
Yeah, I'll read them out. Okay, so cool. We have Best Picture. The nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. I think that's a great list. I think much of that was expected. Again, when we say this has been a great movie year, I recommend all 10 of those movies. Well, probably 9 of them. It's hard to recommend something like Maestro. I think a lot of people were hoping for something like The Iron Claw to be in that spot instead. Yeah. But Maestro is about, you know, classical music and somebody that's really important to the art world. And so like that is going to be something that Hollywood supports. Obviously, Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese think Bradley Cooper is the next best director,
right?
Which is not surprising after you watch A Star Is Born, though is kind of surprising
he's
after
the
Maestro.
Chosen boy.
Yeah, somehow. And obviously, Maestro has themes.
I mean, he's a great
director.
And Maestro is a good movie.
No, it is. Yeah.
It's just the hype that a lot of people are reacting to around it being a masterpiece.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, you know, is usually the language people use when they see something that's technically impressive that is a biopic. The biggest snub to me is Andrew Hayes, All of Us Strangers.
Yeah.
That movie is devastating, brutal, but an excellent portrait of a divided family and around miscommunication and also around a tragic romance at the kind of center of the film, led by Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. An incredibly beautiful film, something I was hoping for in screenplay. I was really kind of secretly hoping for it in Best Picture. Unfortunately, didn't get the nod. I am happy to see movies that did surprise me, like Zone of Interest, or Past Lives, or I guess for some people, definitely The Holdovers, or American Fiction. Those movies, I'm happy for them getting in here, and Maestro, obviously, but All of Us Strangers, I think, deserved a spot. In terms of other popular snubs, The Color Purple, May, December, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and then, like I said, The Iron Claw.
Yeah. I would have personally liked to see All of Us Strangers swapped out with The Holdovers.
Yes.
Because I think that I understand why people like The Holdovers, and it's like a holiday movie, so it came out at the right time too.
Yeah.
But I think All of Us Strangers, like, that was the only movie that I cried in theaters this year. I guess actually Passages also, which is another great movie if you haven't seen that. But we'll be talking about Passages, All of Us Strangers, and all of these movies on our ranking, I guess, that we're going to do leading up to the Oscars.
Yeah, no, we are. The Holdovers is probably the movie we've had the most requests to do a deep dive on over the past few months. Mm-hmm. I think Alexander Payne is obviously a very good filmmaker. There are very good performances in The Holdovers that we're going to get to in a second. I think he really commits to using the equipment and lenses and the grain of that period of the 1970s. Yeah. You really feel like you're at a New England prep school throughout that film. It is very memorable in a sneaky way, I think, in terms of the way it blends the holiday genre and dramatic genre really well. I do think the movie is full of sanitized ideas, and I do think it is pretty conventional, though people are saying that it's not. And I think, ironically, its texture and cinematography that is very artificial also adds to the kind of like unfortunate artificiality of the screenplay. For me personally, I'm not a huge fan of that movie, and we can talk about it more on our 2023 ranking next month.
Yeah.
But yes,
we liked it, but yeah, especially also because we're teachers, we also have like
high standards.
A whole thing about how teachers are depicted on screen. But I think in this category, like Oppenheimer's coming out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely winning. I'd be really surprised if it didn't. But I just wanted to add to what you said. I do wish All the Strangers did replace The Holdovers. It's probably more Maestro, in my opinion, of what I wanted it to replace. I just think All the Strangers is like a great exploration of loneliness and very abstract in how it explores like urban flats and like suburban neighborhoods as ghost lands. It's a really powerful psychodrama. And I hope more people go and see it. I know it's not in all theaters right now for everyone, but try to find it if you can. It's a very lyrical movie and has great impressionistic filmmaking. Really recommend it. In terms of other snubs that are personal to us that never had a chance, Wes Anderson's Asteroid City is a very special film to me this year.
Yeah.
But I think we both agree one of our favorite movies of the year is Beau is Afraid.
Yes. And I would love to see that in every category.
If you were going to nominate one of Ari Aster's films for Best Picture, I think Beau is Afraid had the best chance out of like Hereditary or Midsommar. You know, like Beau is Afraid feels like the movie that had a better chance because it's not in that horror genre. Yeah,
exactly.
It's in like that great man deconstruction genre.
Yeah.
And I do think it's really smart.
It's like the other side of Napoleon, you know?
Right, exactly. Or just the better version of something like Maestro to me personally. And then a movie we did a deep dive on was Ira Sachs's Passages, which is another film I think could have been put in here. I do think movies that are in that more melodrama space like A Past Lives were never going to get moved. Mm-hmm. And so Passages didn't really have a chance, but it is something that I was really like secretly hoping for too.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, when you have something like Worst Person in the World get nominated in past years,
mm-hmm.
it is interesting to see that like something like Passages was not even like in the conversation.
It's because of that NC-17 rating.
Yeah.
Like our rating system, it's like I don't know why people aren't just calling it what it is. It's homophobic. Like that's what's happening here. It's like the movie is not being represented by awards bodies because nobody has seen the film and it wasn't shown in a lot of theaters because of its rating. Unfortunately, even though we have movies like Wolf of Wall Street that are somehow rated R, even though they're full of orgies, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And Ira Sachs talks about that too.
Oh yeah. In detail. Yeah. He's a great speaker. All right. Next category. Best director, Justine Triet.
Yeah.
Let's go. Anatomy of a Fall. So this movie is very special to me. I think it's the best movie of the year. I think it's one of the best films of the 2020s. It is a brilliant, compulsive interrogation of marriage. It is an anatomy of a marriage. It's an anatomy of miscommunication. It's an anatomy of Europe in certain ways. I think it's an incredibly clever film and hasn't really gotten its due because a lot of people are worried about the murder mystery of it. And I won't go into detail so we don't spoil it for anyone.
But we are going to have an episode coming up.
We will.
When I get better.
Yes.
So we can like fully talk about it. Yeah.
We definitely will be deep diving this movie. It's just such a smart film and how it targets the audience to try and judge the characters. And the movie is really kind of like exposing the audience as like a French prosecution come alive. It's just so subversively smart.
Yeah.
And I hope more people check it out. I think you can rent it right now. So I'm really happy with Triet again nominated. Martin Scorsese, obviously, with Killers of the Flower Moon. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Yorgos Lanthimos' Poor Things. And then Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that Glazer spot, I don't think it's Triet, though some people are arguing that Trier was swapped out for Greta Gerwig. I think people swapped in Jonathan Glazer for Greta Gerwig's spot here, and that's why she was snubbed. I think The Zone of Interest caught on really late around the holiday season. More and more people just saw it for the first time in the past month.
Yeah, it just got a wider release.
Yes, even screeners came out pretty late, I believe, for that movie. So a lot of Academy voters didn't just see it until the last month. So it was just on people's mind. And that movie is, you know, really complex and very weighty, and the directing is very powerful, and he's an incredibly talented filmmaker. So that makes sense to me, but I still can't believe that Ryan Gosling as Ken gets nominated.
Yeah.
America Ferrera, which is nice, but not Greta Gerwig.
Yeah.
You know, not Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
I mean, it is wild. I think a lot of people are also frustrated with Alexander Payne because, like we said, that's a big, you know, filmmaker for a lot of people this year. The Holdovers is a big movie for a lot of people. Not us, but still, I understand why people are frustrated. Celine Song didn't get nominated. Hayao Miyazaki didn't get nominated. Todd Haynes didn't get nominated. So those are some popular snubs, but I think the obvious one is Greta. Are people underrating Barbie? I don't want to, you know, it made $1 billion. You know, it's the highest grossing movie of the year, or like it's first or second. I think it's actually passed the Mario Brothers movie, thankfully. But is this movie underrated now? Like it got 8 nominations. It got less than Poor Things.
I don't know.
And Poor Things is more transgressive. You think it would get less nominations.
Yeah, I am kind of shocked that Greta was shut out of this category, because I was watching the Barbie behind the scenes video on YouTube.
I bet it was good, yeah.
If anyone's been following us on Letterboxd, we've been like logging 6 movies a day
when we were sick. Yeah,
on the couch. But I was just like randomly watching that, and I was like, man, Barbie was so creative. Like, and to hear Greta, when we were doing the prep for our Barbie episode, just all of the kind of detail and care that she brought to the Barbie movie, like, you know, her and Noah wrote it together, like, we're coming up with this stuff like from the ground up.
Yes.
And so I it's kind of shocking, because it really is a creative movie and like a huge endeavor.
It's also hilarious. Like, it's a hilarious film, and people, you know, are all the time saying comedies are dead. What's happened to comedies? Barbie is so funny.
Yeah.
I know Theater Camp is probably our funniest movie that we've seen this year, and that's our number one comedy, if you want to call it
that.
Or Bo is Afraid. Yeah. But Barbie is really great. And in terms of like the criticisms of the film's uninspired politics, I think some of that is valid in critiquing Gerwig and the paradox of working in within the Mattel system. Sure. But if we're going to give movies like Oppenheimer the benefit of the doubt, or you're going to give, you know, the financial and thematic freedom to escapist movies like Top Gun Maverick last year, then I think people need to maybe think about what they're saying when it comes to Barbie and its politics. I mean, this is...
Yeah, that's so true. Because people, like, literally would just... The argument about Barbie not being nominated as a consumer movie. Or,
yeah, superficial, you know, feminism.
It, like, people literally use the same argument for Top Gun Maverick. You're so right.
Yeah, they were like, well, it doesn't have to be about anything. It's just a spectacle. Well, yeah, no shit. Barbie's about something, and it's a spectacle. It's great.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how Greta Gerwig made a movie that has mostly been coming from a franchise of, like, animated Barbie films from, like, VHS to DVDs to streaming. She made a movie with Noah Baumbach. Well, she made the movie, but they crafted a script with Baumbach that is textually coherent, thematically effective, and in some ways universal, though it is still a very white and heterosexual story. Mm-hmm. It is incredibly crowd-pleasing as an experience. It is such a massive success for any filmmaker. And honestly, I think if you put this movie and its IP in the kind of like Mattel environment in any other filmmaker's hands, they probably screwed up, because that's such a challenge. And the fact that they made something that was the biggest movie this year is pretty wild. Also, Michael Cera's in this and he's sick. And I wanted it to get more love, just so I could talk more about the small parts of Barbie again. Cause I know we did a 3-hour deep dive on it, but it feels like it was like a year ago.
Yeah.
It was like 6-7 months ago.
And also, it's weird, you know, like, I respect like Poor Things, Barbie, and Bo's Afraid for being strange.
Yes. And so while I'm happy for Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest as this experiment on compartmentalization, and as this gamble of a film about trying to hold the audience, as people that are complicit to contemporary genocide. And that movie is very powerful in how it talks about how we all reject disassociation in like convenient ways. I think it's a very smart movie about humans having complex violent impulses. And there's a great economic commentaries in there that don't fully work at the end of the movie. We will talk about The Zone of Interest one day soon. I am happy for The Zone of Interest, but I do think I would have rather, you know, Greta have been here instead of Jonathan Glazer. All right, actors. Oh, wait. Any other ones you want to talk about in terms of directors? Because I guess we have said Bo is Afraid, so obviously Ari, Wes Anderson, Celine Song isn't in there.
I think the only one we didn't talk about was Bradley Cooper. He was a huge name kind of like swirling around because of all prep that Netflix was doing. And like we talked about Scorsese. And
his interviews he was doing.
Yeah.
Like Spike Lee interviews.
Exactly.
And Guillermo del Toro.
And Spielberg. Like everyone really pushing him and embracing him. And just couldn't do it for him. So
yes, I couldn't. Though what's great about that movie is that it is technically really impressive. Speaking of Bradley Cooper, actor in a leading role, Bradley Cooper gets the nomination for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and then Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. I think the biggest snub here is probably Leonardo DiCaprio, though I actually am totally fine with the five nominations here.
Same.
I don't personally have any problems with this. Again, we have our favorite films. I loved Joaquin Phoenix in Beau is Afraid. I think it's a really underrated performance. It's much better than his Napoleon performance. I think another popular snub is probably Andrew Scott.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
And All of Us Strangers. I don't know if they could have fit him in here. I think if you're going to put him in here, it's probably in Bradley Cooper's position or Colman Domingo's. And for Rustin, that's just because that movie's underseen and has been really kind of, noted as not being very good or very successful. And then when it comes to Bradley Cooper, I don't think he's the best part of that film when it comes to the performances.
I think he's good. Like,
no, he's good, but I don't think he's the best performance in that film.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, Carrie, yeah.
Yeah. She's fantastic. But I was going to say the other performance is Zac Efron in The Iron Claw, which The Iron Claw didn't get any nominations. I know people are frustrated about that. Ultimately, I think a lot of Academy voters, plus honestly audiences, and we've talked about it as this too, it's like a prestige TNT film.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to get nominations.
Movie. Yeah. And also I think that if it were maybe had some like darker undertones of maybe like what the true story maybe was. And we talked about like on our Iron Claw episode, why maybe that was not included.
Yes.
Because of needing to sign off for the family.
And just to be clear, in case listeners who haven't listened to that episode, I know the story is really dark. It's a very tragic, true story, but there were people left out of that film in the real life family, the Von Erichs, and also the father and his backstory with his wrestling career and what his character was and what that represented for like Nazis. Like there's a lot of darker things in the backstory of that film that the movie didn't touch because it thought it would be too tragic.
Right.
So I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually didn't even think of Zach, but he did such a great job. I think it's phenomenal. Like this makes sense though, as far as best actor. And I think Cillian Murphy is going to come away with it.
I think Paul Giamatti.
I was just going to say, I've heard a lot of people saying Giamatti. And yeah. I think so.
People really love him in this movie. Okay. Yeah. And I think he's probably going to take it. I'd be really surprised by Cooper. But again, that movie is really speaking to a lot of people in Hollywood. Also, I need to add that like that story being about addiction too, and that being a very powerful like theme in any movie that gets nominated for Hollywood. And so that often gets propped up too. So that's possible.
Can
as well.
I also just say that not that this matters because Leonardo DiCaprio is like a billionaire, but he's gonna go through so many awkward conversations, I feel like, on Oscar night of like, dude, you know,
yeah,
because I'm sure he's gonna go still to support Marty.
Oh yeah, let me see how many nominations DiCaprio has. So it looks like he has 6 Oscar nominations. He's only won for The Revenant. Tough.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy. Not Wolf of Wall Street. That is wild. Yeah. That's easily his best performance. Okay, actress in a leading role. We have Annette Bening in Naiad, which is a film I did not know existed until a month ago. And I have not seen it yet, unfortunately. I've only not seen a few films. Kelsey, I think we both have a few on our watch list still for the rest of January. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. Great. Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. Fantastic. Carey Mulligan for Maestro. And then Emma Stone for Poor Things. It looks like Emma Stone is probably going to win this based on other awards bodies giving her the W here. I am surprised. I thought before award season started that Lily Gladstone was going to walk away with this award just because of how much love was targeted at her performance while Killers of the Flower Moon was in theaters. But Emma Stone's performance in Poor Things, I think, just surprised a lot of people. Plus, I think a lot of people like that show that she's in that I am not too familiar with. The Curse. Yeah, I haven't watched any of it yet, but people really love her in that too. So that's helping her right now. In terms of the biggest snub,
Margot. Yeah.
Much like the Greta conversation, I think Margot Robbie as Barbie is an insane performance. It's insane. It doesn't make any sense.
I didn't appreciate it, to be honest, enough when I first saw it.
She's that good. Yeah. You know, I've said it before. She's the De Niro of Hollywood right now. She can do anything. I think she's the best actor, one of the best actors in the world, if not the best actor. And I just don't think people appreciate her enough. I know this is a $1 billion movie. I know it's widely loved. I know it's not the typical sad sob story that a lot of actors get nominated for when it comes to an Oscars campaign. But this performance just can't be done by most actors. And it's really ironic to me that Gosling's performance as Ken was nominated, considering the subject matter of Barbie.
Right.
I do think it's also kind of funny, because it's not like we thought Barbie was a perfect 5 stars. We had problems with the movie. I think we shared in the consensus criticism of the film, which is that its nuance on patriarchy was more effective than womanhood and feminism. Mm-hmm. And also it had, you know, this kind of dark undercurrent of economic exploitation because of the Mattel of it all. And like
right.
us knowing the Mattel cinematic universe is here to take the lunch money of the Marvel cinematic universe. Yeah. So that made everybody nervous, considering the subject matter of the movie was supposed to be this like progressive text. But still, that shouldn't really affect Margot Robbie's performance in this. It's incredible. And she has some really good emotional moments too.
Yeah. I mean, she is like wild. If you think of like I, Tonya or something, right? Like she can just like pull off any emotional moment. But
she's also one of the best parts of Asteroid City.
Yeah. Yeah. I always forget that she has that scene.
Yeah.
I also think that people are talking about Greta Lee not being nominated in this category.
Yes. Okay. So I was surprised about this just because I thought Celine Song was not going to get the nomination, a lot like Charlotte Wells with After Sun last year. But I thought Greta Lee was going to get the Paul Mescal treatment. Maybe this four actresses outside of Annette Bening were always going to be nominated.
Yeah.
But I just was surprised by Bening. I haven't seen Naiad yet. I heard it's pretty good. I heard the performances are very good. So we're going to have to check it out.
I like Annette Bening, but
yes,
I think, yeah, like Margot was so great.
Yeah. I would have rather Margot or Greta Lee or even Anjanou Ellis Taylor for Origin or Natalie Portman for May December. But yeah, we talked about the biggest snubs. It's too bad, but good for Bening. I mean, she's had a really long career and it's nice to see her get her due. Actor in a supporting role: Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction; Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon; Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer; Ryan Gosling, Barbie; and Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things, which is I think it's the really surprising nomination is the Ruffalo performance. Some people thought Willem Dafoe in Poor Things was going to get it over Ruffalo. I think people just undervalued how much Hollywood loves Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah,
they really do. And they've been waiting for him to get out of the MCU so he can be his weird self, you know, in all these interviews. He's been a great hang in interview.
Yeah. Him and Emma Stone have really been
phenomenal.
Him. Yeah.
So I understand why people wanted Defoe, but I personally wanted Ruffalo over him. If you're going to nominate someone else, the Charles Melton crowd obviously was very frustrated. Dominic Sessa crowd, very frustrated.
I don't think he should have been nominated, but as kind of like a breakout star, I would love to see the Oscar clip of him like throwing that brownie.
Mm.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going crazy here.
I love that clip. And then my personal snub was, and I'm going to butcher this name, I apologize to all of our French listeners, Milo Mercado Graner of Anatomy of a Fall, who plays the young boy.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I honestly think he should probably win this category.
I think about his performance all the time.
I think it's the best performance, an actor in a supporting role. And he just didn't get nominated because he's a kid.
I don't know if it's the best one, but I think that like it would make sense to me if he were nominated.
Who do you think wins this one? Because we haven't really been doing a lot of wins because we're going to have our separate Oscars episode for predictions.
Right.
But I am curious what you think is going to happen here, because Downey's been getting a lot of love in other award shows. People also really like Gosling and Barbie.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen here.
I think Downey, I just think like there's so much love for him.
I think you're right. Yeah.
People love to see him give a speech, make a joke.
Really happy for Sterling K. Brown. He's had a really long career and it's awesome to see the nomination here. He might even win, honestly. So this could surprise some people.
I was surprised not to see Defoe here.
But
I'm happy for Mark Ruffalo also. Like, I just appreciate that really weird performance. I think it's going to Downey or maybe Gosling.
All right, actress in a supporting role: Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer. I don't like your phrase.
I don't like your phrase.
Come to me with good grammar next time. Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple. Nice. American Ferrera, Barbie. Jodie Foster, Naiad, once again. Jodie Foster, kind of a tough performance in True Detective so far.
Yeah.
Kind of sad about it, because we have a Silence of the Lambs episode coming up, and I've like been very pro Foster off mic in this past month, just prepping for Silence of the Lambs, but kind of tough in True Detective. So I'm interested to see Naiad.
Also, like, we're still going to watch it because I love True Detective, but mm-hmm. I feel like I'm I'm just not into like ghost stories. And yeah, I thought the supernatural when there was mysteries. A lot of news about it being like a horror, you know, yeah. shift for the True Detective universe.
Yes.
That I was really excited to see that horror element. Yeah. And instead it's supernatural.
Yeah.
Which I guess still falls into that. It's just not my personal taste of like what I like in a horror movie or show.
I always thought a rated R like Scooby-Doo horror TV show was always a good idea. So I like the supernatural aspects as long as they're not actually supernatural by the end of the show. I don't want to step on what they've told us or shown us in the show because a lot of people haven't seen it yet. But I do recommend people watch it because True Detective, great. Just yeah. great franchise.
Regardless,
I guess.
Though, you know, Jodie Foster, I'm excited to see her in Naiad when we get to watch it.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, when we talk about Silence of the Lambs and, right. and she still has that energy, though, of the like weird kid from Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Hell yeah. Great. That's one of my favorite performances from Foster. And then obviously the last nomination that's going to be the winner is Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers, which is well deserved. She's won basically everything she's been nominated for, mm-hmm. and she's had some great speeches. One of the only human beings I've seen at award shows
yeah.
in the past few weeks. The big snub here is Penelope Cruz, Ferrari. Who I think Cruz is the best part of that film that we did a podcast on. So people can go listen to that. If you like that film, it was the third part or it's the third movie that we talk about in our part two of the Maestro and Ferrari. And what was the
Iron
third
Claw?
Thank you,
we
kind of,
yeah, so. We looked at them through the great man myth that yes. they're all those movies are talking about
that are semi-successful at exploring. But Penelope Cruz is excellent in Ferrari. Other snubs, Julianne Moore, May December. And then a personal snub for me, I didn't really like Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, but I love Rachel McAdams, and I was sort of hoping that she could squeeze in here. And then my favorite low-key performance of 2023 is Claire Foy in All the Strangers. I think that's a really difficult, challenging role, and I think that mom isn't given a lot to do on paper, but what Claire Foy does with it is really bring a lot of the audience into the movie. I think through her back and forth with Andrew Scott is really special in that film. And I think a lot of other actors in that movie are getting love when it, honestly, I think she probably gives the best performance of that film. So it's too bad not to see Cruz or Foy for me on this list. I think Emily Blunt has gotten a lot of love, but again, Divine Joy Randolph is probably going to win here.
I think so too.
Adapted screenplay. We have American Fiction, written by Cord Jefferson, Barbie, Gerwig and Baumbach, Oppenheimer, Nolan, Poor Things, Tony McNamara, and The Zone of Interest, written by Jonathan Glazer. So the snub here that a lot of people have been talking about online is Eric Roth and Martin Scorsese with Killers of the Flower Moon. Like we said at the top, that is a multidimensional portrait of an indigenous community being attacked systematically and systemically, and you get to see how that operates. We do think the movie is semi-successful at that, especially mm-hmm. because it keeps Molly bedridden for the second half of the film, and it's more interested in the courtrooms when it comes to DiCaprio and De Niro and Brendan Fraser. So I think it is a half successful movie only because of the screenplay. So I'm actually okay that it's snubbed here. I didn't love the screenplay for this movie. It was actually my biggest problem with the film because I think it's a really well acted. It's a great piece of directing from Scorsese. Thelma Schoonmaker gives some of her best editing in the later half of her career in this movie. I
yeah,
really
it
like
has all
this
the
film.
Elements there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm fine with that snub. Other snubs, the All of a Stranger script, obviously, The Taste of Things, which we haven't seen yet, but those are the
I'm
big
so
snubs.
I'm so excited to see that.
Me too. I think these are great five nominations. American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. I think a lot of people are probably going to think it's Oppenheimer, but I could see something like American Fiction getting love here. And then obviously we love Barbie. So
yeah, I mean, also I think with, you know, Best Picture, they are probably going to give that to Oppenheimer. So mm-hmm. I think we might see something other than Oppenheimer win
yeah.
out here.
Yeah. Okay. Original screenplay. We have Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and then Past Lives. May December is the only nomination, or sorry, the original screenplay is the only nomination for May December, which is the screenplay by Sammy Birch, who is a former casting director, which is why that movie is so interesting when it comes to casting and exploitation in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It is semi-successful to us. You can listen to our May December opinions on our May December episode.
Right.
We don't need to do that today, but I do feel bad for the Hive because they are such a large Hive and they didn't really get anything else.
Yeah.
When it comes to this,
I
mean, movie.
Listeners know I'm not upset by this. I do think that I understand what it was trying to say about exploitation mm-hmm. and have like a satirical lens.
Yeah.
On the idea of like a lifetime movie.
Yes.
And exploiting real people's stories and trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm fine with it just getting this nomination here.
I hope it's Anatomy of a Fall that wins here. I really do. I really hope this wins. I would love to see a speech by Celine Song, so it'd be nice to see her win too. But I think that script, Anatomy of a Fall, is going to be studied for like years. I mean, it's really great. Yeah. I mean, she's speaking to all movies that use women as plot devices in that movie and trying to like men who write scripts that use women to virtue signal political points and then use the movie and the woman plot beats to basically prop up the tragic, flawed man protagonist of the film.
Exactly.
And Anatomy of a Fall is basically an FU to all of those films.
And you know what's so cool is that she is like openly talking about that.
Hell yeah.
So it's not just like, okay, well, here's a subtle text. And then when you leave, you can like debate about it. She's saying like, no, like that's not the point in terms of like what actually happened in the story. It's like,
right.
Here is a woman who is like on trial mm-hmm. and here's why what I'm responding to in terms of other movies that I've like seen in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Like she has explicitly said like it's a response to you know things like Gone Girl, which is a hot take for some people.
Yeah.
But like the characterization of women in Hollywood that are often kind of, you know, don't get fully developed.
Usually never, you know, and there is a lot of movies this year that are guilty of that and some that have been nominated for Best Picture, honestly. Cinematography, El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. So I think the surprise here is the El Conde, and I'm probably mispronouncing that, I apologize, but that movie is shot in black and white. And it looks really good in the images that I've seen. And so I thought maybe, you know, the Pablo Larraín like satire could do well here, and it did. So that's Edward Lachman's third, I think, nomination. Then Rodrigo Prieto in Barbie did not get the nomination, which a lot of people were surprised about. I was kind of hoping, and I know this is going to maybe surprise people, but Saltburn. You know, okay. I was hoping it could come through here for one nomination for cinematography. I think it looks really good.
Yeah, even critics of the movie will like have talked about how even if they didn't enjoy the story or the plot, that they really like, you know, respected that it was visually stunning.
Oh, yeah. And Asteroid City, too, as another movie. Okay. Another film that we have not talked about, but David Fincher's The Killer. I don't think anybody saw that in theaters except for us and like a few hundred other people. But in theaters, The Killer is
Fincher fans.
Ridiculous. That movie looks so good on a big screen. So the way it's shot is, you know, really special. So I was hoping that could get some love and Past Lives too. But this is a tough category.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Maestro looks probably really good and it does deserve love. But I think Hoyt Van Hoytema and Oppenheimer is going to win here for cinematography. I think Oppenheimer might win like 8 awards, maybe more.
Yeah, I think Oppenheimer is going to sweep
of the technicals.
Poor Things, though, too, is pretty impressive how they capture the world.
I agree. I hope that wins for production design, which we have coming up. Original song, The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. Wait, Flamin' Hot got an Oscar nomination? I didn't realize that. That's wild. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. The song For My People from Killers of the Flower Moon, and then What Was I Made For from Barbie. The snubs here, it's Camp Isn't Home, guys, and it's The Wall Street Noise. It's theater camp, and if you don't like theater camp, I don't care. The music is great. The last 10 minutes makes me cry.
It's so good.
I think it's a special film that just didn't get love because of its mockumentary conceit that like pissed a lot of critics off because it didn't continue that conceit, but it's a, you know, it's a just a campy movie, no pun intended. Like it is just, that's just how it's crafted. And I appreciate that about it. So
yeah,
it has some of the funniest performances of the year too. Great cast, great ensemble.
I thought it had great songs too. That's so funny. Anyone who is in the theater camp Hive, I got to
have a
conversation with the director. So you can go back and listen to that podcast and just hear Trey and I laugh about all of the like wild things in that movie. But I loved that movie, and I don't think it deserved the criticism of like, oh, we don't need another mockumentary.
Yeah, no, that was ridiculous. Costume design. We have Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, somehow, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Now, we really like Napoleon, but I am surprised it had like three nominations today, especially because it was in place of movies like The Color Purple, Wonka, Maestro, Priscilla, Asteroid City. I really, really, really like Napoleon, but I like it as a Ridley Scott fan, and I understand if people don't like that movie. Mm-hmm. So I am happy it's here, I guess, selfishly, like, or just kind of like, that's my taste. But I do think something like The Color Purple or Wonka could have been nominated here. Obviously, something like Barbie or Killers of the Flower Moon probably deserve to be or win. Maybe Poor Things. There's some great outfits there. And I mean, the costume design is really special in that, in terms of the periods it mixes.
Yeah. When you're looking at the costumes in Barbie, I personally feel like there's no question.
Okay.
Like the detail that they went back to look at like each iteration of the doll. And like there were so many outfit changes and like for each specific Barbie. Mm-hmm. And also just when you like look at all the Kens, like how they dress like after the shift of Ryan Gosling, you know, finding horses.
Yes.
And I just think that. Like Barbie's costume design is wild. And I just watched like a whole featurette about it, but
it's pretty singular. Yeah. Sound, The Creator. Again, I don't know how that got nominated. Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. Oppenheimer in the Zone of Interest. So Maestro, I can't understand what's being said in like 10% of that movie.
Yeah.
I know that's not exactly what sound is supposed to be an award for, but it's just kind of crazy. It's like nominating Ferrari for this list. I would be really happy. I'd be really disappointed if Ferrari was, because it had such a sound mix problem. Mm. When it comes to something like the Zone of Interest, though, I'm really happy that got nominated. Yeah. In fact, I would even say that might win. That might sneak a win here out from Oppenheimer.
I think that if I had to guess today, it would be Oppenheimer, but I think it should be Zone of Interest, and definitely could be, like you're saying, because it's a perfect movie to be nominated for this category, and that sound is a core theme of the movie.
It's definitely a formal exercise in sound, and it is a provocation that I think is very successful. Though at first, when the movie starts, without spoiling anything, I was like, are they going to do this the entire time? And then by the end of the movie, I was like, wow, that was a special film when it came to sound. Mm-hmm. And really just a technical achievement, a very abstract movie, but very effective. Okay, original score. We have American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which is one of the worst movies I've seen this year.
haven't seen it.
For score. It's John Williams. So obviously, like, some people have argued that this might be John Williams' last film. So why not give him a nomination? I say that's BS. He's had a lot of nominations. He's going to be fine. Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Robertson. I think I'm hoping for this one. And then Oppenheimer and Poor Things. So again, the biggest surprise here is John Williams. And I think the biggest snub is Daniel Pemberton for the score on Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. That movie is a technical achievement visually, but sonically, one of the most exciting theater experiences this year. I think a lot of people have forgotten about Spider-Man because it's been like 9 months since that, or maybe longer, since that movie came out, and people haven't seen it in so long. But Dial of Destiny getting a nomination here is just kind of ridiculous when you look at Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and what Pemberton did on there.
Yeah. And the Gwen theme song is so
great.
Good
soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, Gwen especially. That's singular. Okay. We have live action short film, animated short films, and then documentary short films. We're going to hold off on the short films, and we're going to talk more about those when to see whoever won, because we haven't seen any of these. A lot of normal audiences don't have access to a lot of these short films until they somehow come through a streaming service or even sometimes on YouTube.
Yeah, when they get nominated.
Right. Everybody Google those and take a look. Watch out for those before March when the Oscars drop. Documentary feature film. We have The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol. So I think Beyond Utopia and American Symphony and the Michael J. Fox movie and the Nikki Giovanni Project, all of those movies were expected to be in the running, and a few of those were expected to be nominated. So this is kind of a surprising category. Based on what I've heard from other critics who have seen all these documentaries, I've only seen one or two of these. And again, this is going to be another category that we're going to have to catch up on.
Right.
And that we don't have access to a lot of these movies. Like, we can't rent most of these yet. So some of them are streaming, so listeners, check those out. Okay, international feature film. We have Lo Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and the Zone of Interest. So we've seen The Zone of Interest. Excellent. We've seen The Teacher's Lounge recently.
Yep.
Loved it.
Yeah.
One of my top 10 movies of the year. I think it's really great. I think a lot of critics were out on the ending. I don't think it has a chance here, but I recommend people watch that when they can, which you should be able to in the next few weeks. Society of the Snow, I just checked out last night. That is a movie with several memorable scenes that deserve recognition across awards bodies. So I'm happy it got a nomination here. It is a movie that I don't think is totally cohesive.
I'm so surprised to see that since it came in so late.
Yeah, I think
Netflix is a powerhouse, I guess.
I think even the wealthy have Netflix, that's what that tells us. And then Perfect Days, the new Wim Wenders movie. We have not seen it yet. I don't think we have access yet. And we don't have access to the Italian film either. Some snubs, Fallen Leaves, which is a very popular movie across critics and regular audiences. We just started that the other night and we have to finish it still.
Yeah.
But it looks fantastic. We're not totally bought into the story yet because we're only like 20 minutes in, but it looks really, really good. And The Taste of Things, which we don't have access to yet. And some other snubs were Four Sisters, Promised Land, and Godland, which is another movie I recently started in the past few days. Again, we've been sick, so we've started a lot of movies and had to pause them.
Yeah.
To think like, okay, I cannot sit through this 2.5 hour international feature with subtitles.
Burn movies.
Yeah. It's really just the subtitles. When you're sick, it's like, I can only keep up with the visuals right now.
Yeah. You need to kind of like escape this. If people on our Letterboxd have seen, we've been watching like a lot of thrillers.
Oh, yes.
Recently.
Yeah. We've been doing like the Morgan Freeman thrillers.
Yeah.
We've been preparing for Silence of the Lambs, watching B thriller movies.
But it's been fun.
An animated feature film, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and then Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So I think the biggest snub is easily Suzume. I don't think Americans, I hate when people say this, but I don't think Americans understood that film. And I know how that sounds. I know it sounds pretentious, but Suzume is like beautifully tragic. And I think it was reduced by a lot of critics at the time, which then a lot of audiences followed that reduction of looking at the movie as a love story with a chair in it. And I don't think that's really fair, considering all the open-mindedness when it came to Miyazaki and his abstract filmmaking of Boy and the Heron. I recommend people check out Suzume if you haven't. We saw it in theaters. It was one of the most gorgeous movies of 2023. And not seeing it here, it's kind of frustrating. Yeah. I mean, it's a really great film, especially when you see something like Elemental nominated. I haven't seen Robot Dreams and I have not seen Nimona. I am happy for Spider-Man and I am happy for Boy and the Heron.
Yeah. I mean, when I first saw Suzume, I didn't understand the historical context, but
I didn't either.
It made a lot more sense after reading about it. So it is surprising to not see that here. That's a good call. I think Boy and the Heron is going to win here, but I think Spider-Man is like a wild visual achievement and just a great movie.
And not because it has hundreds of Spider-Men in it. Okay. It honestly just is an incredible, diverse film with so many different forms of animation. So not just diverse, like thematically and storytelling, but like literally in the animation, there's more than 10 styles of animation in that movie. Incredibly impressive film. Makeup and hairstyling, Golda, which I believe that's that Israeli film.
Also, quick with Spider-Man, like people are having all these arguments about Barbie, but like are loving Spider-Man. And it's like you can love Spider-Man and Barbie and have them both be like a franchise movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's okay.
It's just interesting because we're seeing Barbie is really impressive in the same way that Spider-Man is, and seeing like all these different iterations and styles of like the past Spider-Mans and the past Barbies. Yeah,
totally. I mean, Top Gun Maverick and Avatar got love last year, and those are both part of massive franchises. Okay, so Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Society of the Snow for makeup and hairstyling. This is sort of a toss-up. I thought Killers of the Flower Moon was going to get nominated instead of something like Golda, which is ridiculous that got nominated. But I'm hoping for something like Oppenheimer or Poor Things here. I would have said Killers of the Flower Moon to win. That's what I would have wanted, but it's not even nominated. I think Beau is Afraid has great makeup and hairstyling, and Napoleon and Ferrari are also very good, but they did not get nominated.
Yeah.
Okay, production design. This is a big one because there's a lot of beautiful productions this year. We have Barbie, which is and it has incredible sets.
Yeah. All the Barbie dream houses were made.
Yes. Yeah. From ground up.
Practically. Yeah.
Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Poor Things is getting so much love lately, and considering that Yorgos got over Greta in the directing, I think this might go to Poor Things, though I think Barbie deserves it the most.
Yeah.
Popular snubs for me and you, I think obviously, like we've said it a lot today, but Asteroid City, is one of the most beautiful looking films this year. And I think people have taken maybe have not realized what they have with Wes Anderson. That's one of his best movies.
Yeah.
You know, people, I mean, just don't understand. Agree with that,
but I do think people aren't appreciating
it. I think it's a top five Wes movie. I think
we'll have to redo the rankings.
Yeah. We're going to have to
I
put it above Grand Budapest, but I think I'd even put it higher now.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, I need to watch it again. Okay. Film editing, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers. Wow. Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I think the big surprise here is The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Anatomy of a Fall is very special editing, from the way they cut from courtroom sequences to the investigation to the actual live family tragedy. It's a lot. There's like three or four different stories being cut together at once. A lot of great cross-cutting in that movie. Kind of some special music drops too when the editing really is working and you're really feeling it. It's hard to immerse audiences into courtroom dramas. It just is. And I know a lot of people have good memories of courtroom dramas, but most of them fail because they become tedious to watch. And this movie does not feel like that. And you're in a court for what feels like an hour, but it goes by pretty quickly. So I hope it goes Anatomy of a Fall here, though. I think Jennifer Lame on Oppenheimer is going to get a lot of love in terms of her cutting in and out of the nuclear fission and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think Poor Things is also great. But yeah, I'm surprised to see The Holdovers here.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Visual effects, The Creator, which I do think that's deserving for this category. Godzilla Minus One. Hell yeah. That movie looks great. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Not my bag, but I understand it. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Actually, I would say that's one of the worst looking Mission Impossible movies. When he's hanging off the train,
oh yeah,
it all looks like blue screen.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous to me.
I was having fun, you know?
Sure, yeah. I guess I was too, but it was like a $250 million movie. And I was like, this is...
Oh yeah, for an Oscar nomination, yeah.
Right. Napoleon. I mean, the Napoleon, the battle on the ice. Yeah, some of that stuff looks
that
really
good.
That
was really... really impressive.
Yeah. I think the surprise here is Godzilla Minus One. I know you haven't seen that, Kelsey, but just trust me when I say this is like one of the best, I'm going to call it horror films of the year, like horror war films that just did not get enough appreciation, even though it came out around award season. I think it's coming back out to theaters in black and white, which is kind of disappointing because I think the color looked great. The biggest snub here, probably Poor Things when it comes to visual effects. And I think a lot of people just didn't like the screens that were set up on the ocean side of that film.
Okay.
Society of the Snow has a few scenes last night where I was like, wow, this might get nominated for visual effects. It didn't get it. And then I think the most popular snub is Spider-Verse, which if you're going to nominate Spider-Verse for anything outside of animation, you think it would be visual effects.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah. I mean, Poor Things does make a little bit more sense in production design because they built that whole set where Bella's walking around in the city where her and Mark Ruffalo go. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
okay, that was the 2024 Oscar nominations, our reactions to them really early in the AM here. We're going to have a lot of Oscar pods coming out very soon. The Oscars are going to be in March on March 10th, 4 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday. That will be hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. That'll be, I think, the fourth or fifth time he's hosted. And we're hoping for like 20 million viewers this year. We're going to be podcasting right after that's over. We're not done covering the best movies of 2023 yet. The whole month of February on our show, we're planning on talking about Anatomy of a Fall, The Zone of Interest, All the Strangers, probably. We're prepping like a massive ranking episode between the both of us where we collectively rank the best movies of 2023 and take turns and get angry at each other for not putting certain movies in certain places where we want them. And then in March, we'll have a few Oscars episodes too. Do you have any movies that you want to shout out for new listeners who haven't listened to the show or don't follow the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we already talked about them during our conversations, but
yeah,
some of my favorite movies of the year are Beau Is Afraid,
yeah,
Passages, All of Us Strangers has been getting love, but I think should be seen, and then 1001.
Yeah, that one is really disappointing. I think A.V. Rockwell and Tiana Taylor, that film is really special. Another movie that is an international feature, RMN.
Oh, yeah.
I was hoping we'd get some love. I think nobody knows what the hell that movie's about by the end of it, but it's a really interesting story on xenophobia and migration that I think is very relevant right now, but it ends in such an abstract way that I think it probably threw a lot of voters off. I also don't know if it was short I don't think it was on the, maybe it wasn't on the Oscar shortlist. I'd have to check. Another film I'm curious if it was on the Oscar shortlist or not is Pacifiction, which is sneakily become like one of my favorite movies of the year. I just watched that while I was sick a week ago. I recommend people check that out. It's a really hard movie to recommend. It is, I don't want to spoil anything about it because I didn't know anything going into it. And it's like a 3-hour epic and you really have to immerse yourself into it. So I recommend if people are down to watch a 3-hour movie, where you're going to be stuck on a few different islands, about with themes of like colonialism and like oligarchies, then get ready for that movie. It is really interesting. Some other films I really loved this year that got some love but not enough were Saltburn, The Teacher's Lounge, The Killer, Monster was another international feature I was hoping to get nominations, Scrapper, Beyonce, I was hoping for Best Editing.
Oh, yeah.
Renaissance.
Yeah.
I think that's the most well-edited movie of the year.
The outfit changes, yeah, with the editing were so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. The Adults is a movie we just saw recently. Kelly Reichardt showing up is very good. They Clone Tyrone. How to Blow Up a Pipeline early on this year was excellent. Blackberry, maybe even better. Bottoms, one of the funniest comedies of the year. We'll talk a lot more about a lot of these movies on our ranking next month. But I just wanted to shout out a few for people who didn't just want to watch the same movies they keep seeing get nominated over and over again. You didn't maybe want to check out something like Naiad, which I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Any others?
No, I just want to re-shout out Passages, but I will be talking about that on our ranking.
Yeah, we definitely will be. All right. That was the extra credits of the 2024 Oscar nominations. Don't forget to follow our show on Spotify and Apple. Shoot us 5 stars if you like what you hear. We are an independent show. We appreciate any and all support. Let us know what you like about our show or what you liked about today's discussion in the Spotify Q&A or in Apple reviews. Again, we are an independent show, so if you're going to shoot us stars, 5 stars only, please. We're also covering some of our favorite movies from the best working filmmakers on our Patreon, which is in the description, the Extra Credits Plus. Right now, we are doing Silence of the Lambs coming up, The Departed coming up. Next month, we have a romance movie that the listeners are voting on right now on Patreon, which is going to be really interesting to see what they do there. We're also going to be covering Denis Villeneuve's movies in this next month in preparation for Dune 2, which we're not Dune heads, but we can't wait to try to give our best predictions of whatever the hell's going to happen in Dune 2. Right. And I'm excited to deep dive Dune if we get the chance to next month, which I think we will. And yeah, Patreon Living Plus costs $5 a month. It's like buying us a cup of coffee. So we appreciate any support of our independent show.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, this has been Trey.
And this is Kelsey.
Peace.
Bye.